join the American Family Robinson again in Centerville. The Save the Herald Society, consisting of the younger Robinsons and Mother Robinson, have at last arrived at the point where the goal is in sight. They have managed to get enough new subscriptions and advertising contracts to make the Centerville Herald an investment for Mr. Markham, the town's leading manufacturer. If he agrees to invest capital in the Herald's future, the Herald will be saved, and just in time. Editor Luke, unaware of what is going on, is writing his last editorial to appear in the last issue of the Herald. The paper is just about to stop publication and go into bankruptcy. But the Save the Herald Society has come through in fine style. And now the big moment has arrived, and we find Betty and Dick Collins about to embark in a cab for Mr. Markham's office. But our old friend Windy has approached, and as usual, is trying to horn in.
Why, you can't go over there to Markham's office and try to swing this thing without me. You're just children in the realm of big business. You need an old hand at this sort of thing to manage the party.
Oh, please don't bother, Uncle Windy. Dick and I can manage it fine. It isn't as though we didn't know Mr. Markham.
Now, look here, Betty. I've been borrowing money all my life. It's an art. There's a wrong way and a right way.
Oh, all right. We can't stand here and argue about it all day. Let him come along if he wants to, Betty. But for Pete's sake, Windy, let me do the talking. Markham Furniture Company, driver.
Okay, boss.
Oh, Windy, why did you have to come along just then?
Why, Betty, a person would think I was intruding where I had no right to be. Oh. After all, remember, I had the lion's share in making this loan a possibility. Didn't I get a year's contract for advertising?
Yes, one. Even Gus Olson did better than that. He got 6 contracts. Well, how he did it, I don't know. He sold some of the toughest prospects in town.
I was afraid to ask him how he did it. His idea of a persuasive sales talk is a section of gas pipe.
Good heavens, Dick, you don't think that he...
Well, he didn't do anything very awful, or we'd have heard some complaints. I guess just a look at that mug of Gus's is enough to convince a prospect that he'd better yield.
It would take a low thug of Gus's type to make the businessmen of this town spend a little money for progress.
You don't think much of businessmen, do you, Windy?
Obstructionists, all of them. Blocking every new idea for the improvement of conditions to protect their own selfish ends.
Well, if you feel that way, Windy, by all means, you'd better not go with us to see Mr. Markham. After all, he's a businessman.
Oh, no. That's the very reason why I'm necessary to this expedition. Knowing them as I do, I can handle them.
Oh, dear.
What makes you think they're trying to interfere with progress?
Well, just look around at the pretty pass they've brought us to.
I am looking around, and what I see is rather educational. 20 years ago, this town was a pretty sorry-looking dump. I saw a picture of it in an old copy of the Herald. Mud streets, a couple of tumble-down old buildings, no schools, houses that we wouldn't put a pet dog into. And now look at it. Paved, well-lighted streets, modern up-to-date office buildings and factories, wage earners buying luxuries they wouldn't have dreamed of 20 years ago, radios, automobiles, time and trouble-saving devices. I see schools, a library, a hospital, attractive, well-equipped houses, millions of people owning them. All that doesn't look like a pretty pass to me. And every bit of it is the direct result of progressive thinking of businessmen and the development of industry. It doesn't look like obstructionism to me.
Oh, well, of course, in a material way, I suppose the industrialists have improved things in the matter of property and gadgets. But how about human rights? That's where business fails to be progressive. They're all for property rights, sure. How about the workers and their human rights?
Well, maybe I'm not smart, but I can't see the difference between a human right and a property right. It's like the old problem of which comes first, the chicken or the egg. If you work hard all your life, save money and buy a home, for instance, that home is a property right. But if it should be taken away from you by reckless taxation or unjust laws, well, that'd be depriving you of your human right to enjoy the fruit of your labor, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes, generally speaking. But I wasn't talking about the little fellows who've just bought a home. I mean the capitalists, the people who are the stockholders.
Why is that any different? An investment is the fruit of your labor, too.
Sure.
It's a property right, but it's also a human right. And the Constitution protects it in the same way that it guarantees the individual of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Well, of course, that's one way of looking at it. But on the other hand, I was talking to a fellow just the other day.
Yeah, what kind of a fellow?
Yes. A politician, and he...
Oh, uh-huh.
Well, what's the matter with a politician?
Nothing. Nothing at all when he sticks to politics.
Yes.
But they so rarely do.
Now, this fellow was sticking to politics. That's just what he was doing. He was telling me what a good political move it would be to put all business into the hands of the government.
Mm-hmm. Sure. A swell political move. Practically ideal from the politician's point of view. But how about the rest of us, the taxpayers?
Oh, he had it all fixed. The politicians will take care of the rest of us.
Oh.
Betty, have you ever heard of anybody who was anxious to trust his well-being to a politician?
No, unless it was Windy.
How about it, Windy? Would you trust a politician with, Miss Timmons' money, say?
Huh? Well, that's something else again.
Oh, Windy, you are lovely. You put up such a good argument.
I don't know why you refuse to take me seriously. You never do. And you ought to remember that I'm a much older and more experienced person. Why, in my time...
Sparrow, your experiences. We've heard them all. And anyway, here we are. Have you got all those subscription figures and everything ready to show Mr. Markham?
Yeah, yes, I'm all set. Now, how was I going to start? Mr. Markham, we feel that we can offer you
Well, now, that's right, but don't recite it, Dick. You sound like a 5-year-old saying, twinkle, twinkle, little star. Now, remember, Mr. Markham is a businessman. He's interested in your proposition, not your delivery.
There. Now, you see, it's a good thing I did come along. Why, that's not the way to start at all. You want to be more firm, more decisive. Let him know you'll stand no nonsense. Mr. Markham, the proposition I am about to put before you...
Windy. Huh? Dick is going to handle this now. We've let you come along on sufferance. But please understand that Dick is going to do the talking, even if he does it badly.
He'll ruin the whole thing, I tell you. Now, look there. Why, he's so nervous he forgot to pay the cab driver. Give the man his money, Dick.
Yes, here you are. Keep the change.
Okay, thank you.
I wouldn't have given him such a big tip, Dick. It's not a good thing.
No, Windy, you wouldn't have over-tipped him. I notice how carefully you refrained from making any contribution to him at all.
Well, after all, coming over here wasn't my idea.
Well, for heaven's sake, we didn't come here to argue about cab fare. Let's get on with this.
All right, darling. Now, listen, don't be jumpy, dear. You know Mr. Markham is Daddy's oldest friend, and he's swell. You won't have any trouble talking to him.
Third floor, please. No, but it's such a lot of money to talk about, and it means so much.
Why, you don't know what big money is. Why, this would be no more to me than walking into the post office and buying a stamp.
It's going to mean even less than that to you, Windy, because you're going to keep quiet if I have to.
Ah, here we are. Good afternoon, miss.
I'd like to see my...
My name is Winkle, William Winkle. Would you mind telling Mr. Markham I'm here?
What do you wish to see Mr. Markham about, sir?
Business. Important. Private.
It's about the Herald.
Now, just tell him I'm here.
Just a moment, please.
Oh, don't ever tell him what you come for when you're trying to get a loan. Bad policy. Now, see? You'd have started off on the wrong foot right away if I hadn't been here.
Yes, the way you put it, we'll convince him that you want to touch him for a 10-spot. Windy, this is an investment we're trying to get him to make. We're not asking for charity.
Well, just watch me. You'll see how it's done.
I'm very sorry, Mr. Winkle, but Mr. Markham can't see you. He's quite busy.
What? Are you sure you told him? That it's important?
Yes, sir, I told him.
Mr. Winkle should have told you to say it's about the Herald and that Mr. Collins would like to see him. Oh, would you mind asking him if we could come back later?
Well, just a minute, please.
Gosh, you shouldn't have bothered him again, Betty. She's already asked him.
She asked him about Windy, and Mr. Markham has met Windy.
You think he'd refuse to see me and not Dick? What makes you think so? Tell me that.
Windy, I've warned you to keep quiet, and if you don't, I'll...
Well, young fellow. Oh. And Betty, bless
well,
my
how
soul.
Do you do, Mr.
I didn't know you were here.
Hello, Mr. Markham.
Hello.
I hope we're not disturbing you.
Not at all. Come into my office. Well, and how are you, Winkle?
Fine. Thanks very much.
What's become of that father of yours, Betty? Haven't seen him around for a long time. Here, sit down.
Thanks. Why, he's, Well, that's what we came to see you about, Mr. Markham.
There's
Daddy.
Nothing wrong with Luke, is there?
Well, yes. That is, there's something wrong with the Herald, and it amounts to the same thing.
As a matter of fact, Markham, the Herald is facing...
Windy! Oh, Windy, your shoelace is untied. Go on, Dick. What were you telling Mr. Markham?
The Herald's in a pretty serious situation, Mr. Markham.
The Herald? Well, I haven't heard about it. I thought the Herald was doing fine.
I'm afraid it isn't. There was a stockholders' meeting, and they decided to stop publication.
Good heavens, oh, that's impossible. Why, the Herald? Why in the world did Luke let me know? There must be some way of...
Oh, there is, Markham. There is a way. not only of saving the Herald, but of making a sweet piece of change for yourself.
Windy, I'm sure Mr. Markham will be glad to have someone show you over the factory. Uncle Windy just came along to look over your plant, Mr. Markham.
I did nothing of the kind.
Certainly. I'll be glad to have Miss Brennan show him around. Oh, Miss Brennan.
Now, look here.
Windy's particularly interested in furniture and how it's made. It's because he's going to get married.
Indeed.
Yes.
Oh, Miss Brennan, will you take Mr. Winkle around and show him the plant?
This is ridiculous.
This way, please, Mr. Winkle.
We'll be gone before you get back, Windy. It'll take a long time.
Your uncle is an odd sort of person. I find him a little...
Difficult. Most people do. I had to get rid of him somehow.
And you did it very well. Now, tell me about the Herald. Just how serious is it?
Well, it was deadly serious. We had a deficit of $6,000 and no capital, even for operating expenses. And Mr. Robinson couldn't get a loan from the bank.
But good heavens, why hasn't he come to me? I might have been able to do something. It's unthinkable that the Herald will go out of business. It's been the most influence for good this town has had for 20 years. It can't go under.
That's just what we thought, Mr. Markham, the Save the Herald Society. That's why we... Well, did what we did. You tell him, Dick.
The Save the Herald Society? You mean there is such a thing and I haven't been asked to become a member? I thought Luke and I were friends.
Well, Mr. Robinson doesn't know anything about the society, sir. But we're here now to ask you if you will become a member, the most important member.
Good. Now, what's the plan of the society and who are the members?
Well, just the family, you might say. Betty, Mother Robinson... Bob and a few of the people at the office.
Yes.
And we've already completed our part, and now... Well, now I guess it's up to you. We hope you'll be able to...
Oh, get on with it, Dickie. Tell him.
I'm trying to.
Maybe it would save time if you told me, Betty. I'm completely mystified now.
Oh, it's really quite simple. All we want you to do is to pay off the Herald's deficit and take care of the operating expenses for, well, say a year, until we have a chance to get on our feet again. Oh, we'd be ever so grateful.
Well, I should think so. That would involve a couple of hundred thousand. Of course, I'd do it in a minute if it were solely up to me, but I've got the responsibility of this factory, stockholders, and the employees. And a couple of hundred thousand just handed over.
Oh, there, Betty, you've told him wrong. I knew you would. It won't be just handed over, Mr. Markham. That's the point of the Save the Herald Society. It'll be an investment.
Yes.
And if you don't think it's a good one, we don't want you to consider it, but I...
Well, thank you, miss. Thank you.
It's windy back again.
Very interesting, I'm sure.
But you haven't seen it all, Mr.
Winkle. I've seen enough. I have business in here. Well, Marky, quite a place, yes. So you kids haven't wound up the deal, eh? Just as I thought. Now watch me. He'll be signing on the dotted line in no time. Now look here, Marky... You don't mind if I have one of these cigars?
Come on, Dick.
Okay.
Now, this proposition... Oh!
I've got him, Dick. I've got him with some muffler. Won't hold for long. Hurry up, Dick. Hurry.
You see, Mr. Markham, we've got the figures right here. And they show that for the last 3 months...
Betty and Dick be able to swing their loan in spite of Windy Bill? Well, join us on our next program and see what happens. Until then, goodbye. The American Family Robinson, which is broadcast regularly over this station, is written by Douglas Silver and Marjorie Bartlett and produced by the National Industrial Council.